How's it going, everybody? Brian Alvarez here, After Dark Radio. We are here every Wednesday, 2 Pacific, 5 Eastern, Sports Byline Broadcasting Network, as well as f4wonline.com/YouTube, twitch.tv/f4wvideo, and you can always listen to Sports Byline on TuneIn Radio, free. And we are here live every Wednesday, 2 Pacific, 5 Eastern. Today, we're going to be joined by Stan Deo. He returns to the show. He's a regular guest here on this and many other programs as well. Dates back to the days of Art Bell. We're going to try to talk about some UFO topics today. But you never know where things will go. And so we're going to get into all of that with him coming back here in just a moment. Should mention, last week we had a solo show. We've got a lot of big guests coming up, in fact. And it's going to be an exciting month. It is Halloween month. And the lineup here, Jim Harold will be returning to the show on the 15th. The Reverend Bill Bean likely back on October 22nd, October 29th. The Haunted AF Podcast Girls, which will be perfect for Halloween, as we can talk hauntings, ghosts, and so much more. So Stan Deo's coming up after the break. If you'd like to send questions for Stan, you're welcome to do so, 425-780-7566. That is 425-780-7566. Or you can email me with really anything, brian@afterdarkradioshow.com. That is brian@afterdarkradioshow.com. Questions, comments, we always welcome your stories as well. I know a lot of you got weird stories, and do not be afraid to send them to this program, because that's what the show is all about. We'll read the ones we can, and if you send us something, we'll probably end up reading it here on the air when we have free time. So check it out, brian@afterdarkradioshow.com. Back in a moment with Stan Deo, After Dark Radio, Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. Back on the show, Brian Alvarez here, After Dark Radio, every Wednesday, 2 Pacific, 5 Eastern, Sports Byline Broadcasting Network, as well as TuneIn Radio, f4wonline.com/YouTube, and twitch.tv/f4wvideo. Very happy today to be joined again by Stan Deo, one of our favorite guests. He's been on this show multiple times and has been doing media, I think, pretty much forever, Stan. Back to the days of Art Bell. Is that right?
That's right. That was last century.
Yeah. I mean, was there anything before Art Bell? Is that when you first started doing media? Or how far back does your media go?
That was the first one, I think, 1995 with Art. I was living in Australia at the time, and my brother Glenn, up here in the States, said, "Yo, tell this guy about your earthquake prediction things." And so that was the first, you know, media I did. I hadn't even written, you know, much at that time. The Cosmic Conspiracy, I guess, the Vindicator Scrolls, but, you know, there were local radio stations and things that I did interviews with, but nothing, you know, across the United States like Art did. He was a really cool guy.
Yeah. How many appearances do you think he did on that show?
Oh, I think at one time they'd counted 30 some odd.
Wow. Yeah, he was the guy that got me into radio. That's why this show exists right now, is listening to Art Bell, and I listened to those shows with you way back in the day, and it's very fun to have you here on this show, just continuing to talk about everything you've talked about for years. And go ahead.
No, go ahead. That's all right. Yeah, I was just saying, yeah, it's great to chat to you, especially someone that Art started in the business. At one time, I was going to take over the Australian representative for Clear Channel for his show.
Really?
So, we were closely affiliated behind the scenes.
Yeah, when he left Sirius and did the Dark Matter radio network over the internet, I was actually one of the hosts on that that network. So I kind of got to actually work with Art there for a while, about a decade ago or however long ago that was. So that was very exciting. Now, usually when you're on, we talk about a lot of, you know, the Ark of the Covenant, some biblical topics. We haven't really talked a lot about UFOs, that sort of thing. I know you've done television programs talking UFOs and all sorts of different things. But before we get into that, we had a question already from the chat, which is your thoughts on 3-Eye Atlas, the interstellar object that I believe at this point is nearing Mars. Is that correct?
I think so, yes. I haven't checked it today, but yeah, somewhere in that vicinity.
What is your take
on Mars,
this?
It's in the orbit of Mars, not just the planet Mars. Yeah, go on.
I'm just wondering, what's your take on 3-Eye Atlas? Because it is controversial. Some people think, you know, this could be an interstellar craft. Other people think it's a natural object. Avi Loeb, of course, has talked a lot about this. Where do you fall?
I'm undecided at this point. I do know that the velocity component of it, the speed of it, does indicate that it's from outside our solar system. And it's the second object, you know, Oumuamua came back through here, a year or two back. They were both long cylindrical things. They might have both been produced by the same astronomical event that shaped them. But, you know, Avi Loeb's description of its gravitational behavior does indicate that it is possibly under intelligent control. So I'm kind of waiting until we see it a bit closer. It would be interesting to see for sure.
Now, when we talk about the two objects, Oumuamua and 3-Eye Atlas, these are the first two that we have discovered, and both of them have been discovered within the last couple of years. So would you say that is unusual that happened? Is it possible? You said they might both be similar or came from the same source. Would you say that maybe is why they're here in such close proximity? Is there another reason that these are the first two that we've seen? Have we not had the ability to see them before? Or why have we had two in 5 years?
Well, yeah, we haven't had the technology to detect them until, you know, this last two centuries, I guess. And so before that, we don't know that we missed others. It's hard to make a statistical evaluation of it until you get more sightings. But it is interesting they've come this close together. And like I said before, it could be the result of some astronomical event that created them both and shot them away from wherever they were. It'd be interesting to know if we could figure out where they came from, but we don't have the technology on hand to do that yet. In another look at it, I would say it is interesting that these are occurring, that it's so close to the time we're going to have a nuclear war or, you know, global conflagration of some sort here on planet Earth. I have said for many years that I expect to see aliens in flying saucers, you know, special craft like that, making themselves known to humans. I think they've been interacting with humanity for centuries, you know, for millennia, actually. And this may be the lead up to announcing their presence again to the modern world in an effort to organize the planet into one world government under a UN Antichrist leader that they will appoint. That's been the whole thing I've talked about for many decades. Is to be aware of this first group coming. Did you ever see that series V, for Victory, V?
I remember it, but I was like, I feel like I was like 10 or 11 years old, so I don't remember it.
All right. Let me tell you that it was a, you know, fictional presentation. It turned into not only a movie, but a series. And it was about aliens coming to Earth, meeting with humans on top of the UN building at night, landing their shuttlecraft on the roof of the UN building. And they looked like us, except their eyes had vertical slits, you know, up and down. And the story developed into a relationship between humanity and them. They wanted our freshwater supplies, and they'd give us anti-gravity and a few other things in return. The story proceeded, and somehow or another you find out that they are wearing fake skins, that they're really lizard skins, you know, reptile skins on them, but they put this plastic stuff over, makes them look human. And then, of course, eventually mankind found a way to defeat them using a distilled powder from the blood of a child that was born between the mating of one of their people and one of our people. And this powder of this child, the blood, was spread by balloons and ran them all off. The story goes on, but the point is that it's like we're seeing this again, the biblical forecast or prophecies for the time we're in now say that there's a great deception going to come upon the earth. And even Jesus says, don't be fooled. If they come and say that they are me or from me in the secret place or in the desert, meet them there. Don't believe it, because when I come back, all living things will see me at once all over the planet. It's not going to be requiring you to go to some secret place. So I've been warning people there's going to be this alien, not invasion, but alien encounter, and it will be here to help us solve planet Earth. And one of the things they will offer is to get rid of the deep state, the Illuminati, and all these little gray critters and reptilian critters that have been hurting people, abducting them, that kind of stuff. And we're going to think that's really great. Get rid of these bad dudes, help us set up the planet and give us technology. And my warning is, don't believe it. That's going to be the first wave. And when Jesus comes at the end of the tribulation, which is, 7 years later from their announcement, I guess, or the beginning of the tribulation period. And so this is getting close. Seeing these strange things in the heavens that are catching our scientists' attention is bringing the consciousness of the planet up to the fact that, hey, that may be them. And there have been a number of things, productions that have been telling people, hey, they may be coming, let's have a look. So that's where I think we are.
All right, we're going to head to a break. We're going to pick up there when we come back. We'll also talk about the reptilians. And recently there were a lot of rumors about a week ago of the rapture, which did not occur. So we'll talk about that as well. And back in a moment, After Dark Radio, Sports Byline, Broadcasting Network. Back in the show, Brian Elber is here. After Dark Radio, Sports Byline, Broadcasting Network. Tune in radio, YouTube at f4wonline.com/YouTube, as well as Twitch, twitch.tv/f4wvideo. And what is that right there? All right, Stan Deo is joining us here today. And we got a lot to get into. We were talking about the
movie series.
It was television, television series and movie, correct?
Yeah, and there was a series of books written by the author, Howard Johnson.
Yes. Now, you mentioned the reptilians in V, and, I've been reading about UFOs and aliens and everything my entire life, and when I was young, we were just sort of getting into hearing about the Greys. I think it was kind of around the time that Whitley Strieber's Communion came out. But I didn't really hear about reptilians until, it seems, later. People talk about them all the time. Now, were these a thing before V? Or, did the V television series and movie come out with aliens that were reptiles? And then everybody started seeing reptilian aliens. Which came first?
I think the series did, as I recall. The one that sticks in my mind was some video show I watched there about these strange, anomalous events. And they talked about the testimony of a young fellow that was in Louisiana, dark one night, and he was on a dark, empty road out in the country. And he got a flat, and so he was changing it. And when he was putting the stuff back in the car, he saw a man a human walking toward him from the swamp gas there around the car. And the guy had glowing red eyes. And this could also be a function of the light that shone on the guy's eyes back in the back of the optic area there. The dog's eyes grow green. Maybe his grow red. I don't know, from the light hitting the receivers in the back of his eyeball. But anyway, this guy had glowing red eyes. And as he came toward him, he saw that his hands were webbed and that he had scale-like skin. This scared the guy. He jumped in his car, takes off down the road, and this thing runs after him, but he gets away from it. Okay, that's what I remember of recent times, but this is way after the B series, because that was in 1977, 78, maybe in 79, it continued that long. So, yeah, I think that people may have been more aware and looking for these kind of things, but sightings of them, reportings of them have been, pretty limited. We've had much more reports of Greys, Nordics, that kind of stuff. So I don't know what to tell you other than that.
Now, we were talking about Oumuamua and Three Eye Atlas, and you said you were undecided on Three Eye Atlas as to what it is. Are you undecided on Oumuamua as well, or have you decided one way or the other on that?
No, I'm leaving in the question mark because of the gravitational behavior of it. It didn't seem to follow natural courses of gravitational fields in our system either. I might be completely wrong, but I'm leaving an open mind as a scientific investigation.
Now, you mentioned the possibility of nuclear war and the fact that we've got these two interstellar objects that, you know, people believe may or may not be artificial, and how perhaps one is tied to the other. And that brings us back to 1947, when we had the Kenneth Arnold sighting, Roswell, the explosion of UFO reports. And obviously there had been UFOs seen, you know, for thousands of years prior. They'd been called something else, but they'd always been seen. But there was a big explosion of sightings in 1947, which was 2 years after the atomic bomb was dropped. So do you see that as a coincidence, or do you think that perhaps the reason those sightings exploded was because they came here to see what was happening with the nuclear explosions?
Well, when you say they, I assume we're talking about
whoever they are.
Yeah, from off the planet somewhere.
Yes.
But the reports, as you said, have been going on for thousands of years. They call them different things. So they've been here all that time watching human progress. So it wouldn't have been a surprise that we had a nuclear bomb go off. They were probably aware of the fact that we were building them at the time because of various radiation signatures that would have been available even from orbit. So, yeah, I think that they have been here watching and helping mankind develop. From a biblical point of view, they're doing the wrong thing in that they were releasing technology to us that was beyond our developmental stage. In the Old Testament, God talks about don't give technology to these humans. And this is a violation that the fallen angels spoken of did. They've been feeding us technology all along. And I think the reason is this. Satan, the leader of these people, is in a confrontational war with the ruling power of the universe, of universes, I suppose, parallel universe as well, God. And this war has been ongoing in our time for thousands of years. And the conflict is going to be decided here on Earth, according to the Bible, to be one great battle between Satan and his minions and his technology and God returning with his through Jesus. World War II advanced our technology to the point where we had a lot of technological assembly lines, you know, to build planes and bombs and that kind of stuff in place after the war. So Satan needed to have the production of a lot of technology here that he knew about back where he came from in the parallel universe where God is, but he couldn't bring it through the portal when God cast him and his minions down here to Earth. So they were looking for raw materials to build weapons and technology with, and they needed to have, you know, mines, they needed to have ores, they needed to have assembly lines. And so they made a deal with us when we were advanced enough to build, to help us by having them build us tunnels and underground facilities and manufacturing complexes where they could make their own weapons much more advanced than ours, and not, you know, considering us at all, but considering the battle they're going to have to fight against Jesus and his return army, which will have much superior technology to ours. So they encouraged us, helped us to find ores, to find technology to do the bombs, to do various other new advanced weapons we've got. And that was so they could use them. They're only using us as minions, you know, whether people realize or not they were helping them. We were just kind of volunteer slaves to build the technology that Satan needs for the Battle of Armageddon, which comes at the end of that 7-year tribulation period. There's so much I could say about this, but I don't want to take up all your time.
Well, when we talk about, I guess you would say, the cosmic deception, these you believe are not aliens. They are, I guess, would you say demons? Would that be the best way to?
Well, you know, some of them may have that attached with them, but they are going to be humanoid like we are. And it's
but minions of the devil.
Say again?
Minions of the devil.
Yeah.
Okay.
Definitely.
So,
all right.
I was just going to ask. So you can go further into that, but I guess my other question would be: so, do you believe that all sightings of UFOs, aliens, etc., are these minions, or do you believe it's possible that there are actually life forms like us elsewhere in the universe that perhaps have visited, or maybe they haven't, there's just life elsewhere in the universe? Or do you think that pretty much everything that we have seen throughout history that we describe as UFOs would be these minions?
You know, I'm not sure. I've asked myself that question many times. Can there be intelligent life throughout a universe with, you know, so many possible candidates and planets? You know, yeah, I'd say it's possible. But the ruling power on this planet is Satan and his minions. So if the others got in their way, they kicked them out. And I do think they're going to do that when they make the announcement here that we're here to help you. We're Jesus' friends and brothers of him. We can even show you videos of the crucifixion, that kind of stuff. But we're going to come and help if you let us. And we'll help you solve planet Earth and get rid of the other aliens that have been afflicting you. So in that respect, maybe there are others, but they're going to kick him out if they are.
Now, you mentioned underground tunnels, and we haven't really ever talked about that much here on this show. But I've always been fascinated with the idea that there's a lot of stuff going on underground. And you hear these stories of, you know, these people in this town, they always hear this sound. It sounds like machinery and clanking underground, but there's no explanation for it. How vast do you believe the underground machinery is here in this country, for example?
Well, in this country, I think it just crisscrosses the entire country. We had a friend in Arizona that we were communicating with by email in the old days. And she would complain at night. She'd go to bed and her bed would vibrate and then move across the room with her in it. And it was, you know, vibrations from the ground underneath her. And we know that Arizona and a number of other states here in the West were probably the sites of many of these tunnels, from White Sands to Nevada for Area 51, various things like that. And so I think that we have been drilling these things. I mean, you don't see many tunnels being drilled for car passageways under a river or anything like that. But yet the Germans, the Japanese, the United States, China, they've all been developing and patenting huge boring machines to drill tunnels. Now, various types of propulsion and waste removal have been developed. The U.S. Air Force had one that was public, public pictures of it. I think in 1990s, early 1990s, that I saw. But the Japanese and the German solutions have been to drill two simultaneously linked together, like a big figure eight. And these things have 50-foot diameters. I mean, they're huge. And they're all across the place. And with the advent of nuclear technology, it was, you know, common sense to go deep underground and to communicate from, say, the White House to a safe place to get the president and members of Congress away to Mount Weather or wherever, or here to Colorado to Denver Airport, and then over here to the contingents of government at Cheyenne Mountain.
Well, hold that thought, Cheyenne Mountain. We'll be back to pick it up there and also talk about some entry points for underground tunnels and bases. Back in a moment, After Dark Radio, Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. Back in the show, Brian Alvarez here, After Dark Radio, Sports Byline Broadcasting Network, every Wednesday, 2 Pacific, 5 Eastern. Also available YouTube and Twitch, f4wonline.com/YouTube, twitch.tv/f4wvideo, and TuneIn Radio. Stan Deo is joining us here today, standeo.com, and we were talking about underground tunnels and bases And you mentioned the Denver Airport, which is interesting because we just had a guest on talking about conspiracies regarding the Denver Airport. A very weird place, this Denver Airport.
Yep. It's even got a flagstone that was laid there by the Freemasons marking the finishing of that project. And I often wonder why they made it such an important site in Freemasonry, but it is.
It's also, like, absolutely gigantic. Like, gigantic.
Yeah. It's bigger than the Love Field Airport in Dallas, or Dallas Love Field Airport. That's pretty big too, but yeah, it's huge. And it's close enough to us here in Colorado Springs, where we have that NORAD base, that you could see that they could either tunnel directly to us or fly and land and put people into the caves or the things that are connected to missile defense and things that we have here at NORAD. I mean, we still got five or six missiles stored there that are interceptor nuclear missiles, believe it or not. But it could definitely be the place where they land and possibly go underground to either directly to Colorado Springs or to another gathering point to then take the government to Cheyenne Mountain.
Now,
I think it's behind that.
Yeah. Now yeah. we gotta talk about underground bases and tunnels and caverns, etc. So if these are crisscrossing the entire country, I mean, my presumption would be that people are regularly going in and out, unless I'm wrong about that. And like, once you're in, I guess I should ask, is it once you're in, or do people like, hey, I got to go to work, honey, and then you go underground and your wife doesn't know? How exactly does this work?
Oh, I think that there are people that work there that also have private lives outside the bases.
So like an Area 51.
Yeah, yeah. And there's psychological conditioning that goes on with them. And one of the things is that if they start to breach the secrecy agreement by speaking or whatever, that they will become violently ill, nauseous. And it reminds them that we've still got a hold on it. Part of the conditioning subliminally they got when they joined the project.
So are there multiple entry points to these caverns? You sometimes hear, oh, you know, the North Pole or South Pole. I mean, there's an entry to go inside the Earth. There's all these rumors. I mean, you can't get everybody in through those two entry points if they would exist. I would presume there would have to be lots of entry points all over the country if this is a giant crisscrossing network.
Well, even all over the planet.
Sure.
The one you're talking about, Antarctica, the Germans discovered that before World War II actually started, and they were taking ships down there of visitors or tourists to see this underground facility they had there at Neuschwabenland. And then you talk about the North Pole and the South Pole having holes. Admiral Byrd said he flew into a hole, I think it was over the North Pole, even though he went to the South Pole as well in the expedition. You know, that's another whole story, but those are two entrances that may have formed naturally because of the way the Earth expands and contracts over periods of thousands of years. And as far as other places, there will be German bunkers that were post-World War II. I know from my Association of Tellers project that our team worked with Germans and Americans and British in underground tunnels that are still sealed that the Germans built. We were testing our flying saucers, you know, a smaller diameter one, in rail tracks in these underground tunnels that were left over from the German occupation there, our German war. So, yeah, they're going to be places everywhere. And there's even one that's like rumored off of Catalina Island off the west coast of Southern California. And they've altered the maps, Google has, and taken out the underground bathymetry showing a raised plateau area with what looks like a hole going into it from the side, like an entry port. It's interesting. That's where Townsend Brown ended up, was at Catalina Island. He ended up his days there, analyzing various types of stone, et cetera, on the beach, probably related to this kind of stuff. So, yeah, they're everywhere.
I love when you're on the show because I feel like we could talk about absolutely anything. It goes so many directions. But now I have to ask, there are like Google images that, I mean, it's not even like a secret. It's just like, this doesn't show up on Google Images. And some of them are, like, I don't think Area 51 shows up on Google Images. And that's obvious as to why. But, like, sometimes something isn't, like, I think there's, like, a lake in Michigan or something, or a big, I mean, there's just things that's like, why would this possibly be censored from Google Images? Well, like, it's just a lake, or it's just, it seems like it's nothing.
Look, Google is obviously a place that the controllers of our planet, the deep state or whatever you want to call them, have put limits on what people can view. And before this got really heavy blocking, I went into Google Earth Pro, and I went down in deep dives underneath what you think was the bottom floor of, say, Saudi Arabia. And I would punch through that on Google Earth when you think it's, you know, there's nothing there. It's just going to be the end of what I'm looking at. And you'll punch her into another group of images that show you what's really there. And there are a number of places like this I found in Egypt and in Saudi Arabia. In fact, Saudi Arabia and Egypt both, I found a very advanced technological basis. I mean, radomes and missile launching pads in the Jabal Tuwaik, south of Riyadh. And I put these all on my website. If you go to standale.com, main page, and go over to the right there, you'll see it says show images. Click on that and then go to the portion about the middle of the page where I say, look at these mysterious anomalies in Saudi Arabia and the Middle East and whatever. And you can see these images with the lat long of them, so you can look them up yourself if they're still there. Some of them got disappeared, but I announced it many years ago. So yeah, this is important to keep it away from us if you're planning for a global, either a fake alien landing or a real one. You don't want to give away these things you're going to use when you announce and have this grand showing of aliens are here, here are their bases, and we're friends with them now, or whatever. It's such a complex thing to talk about in 10 minutes. But anyway, yeah, Google Earth has been censored, and the other map makers have been censored. Anybody that found that, they've blocked that being available to the public. Because there's a lot of stuff there. I mean, I even found an alien base that we were dealing with in the programs with the teller over just west of the tip of the Jabal Tuwaik mountain range or raised area in Saudi Arabia. And I have that and a picture of that on my show images page. You just got to go, because I couldn't even possibly have found everything there. It's a big place. And you get down underneath that limit layer on Google Earth, and you'll find sometimes in the clear ocean, you can go down and dive deep into a blue space, and suddenly there will be, you know, things appearing underneath that level of sea level. So, yeah, we're being censored, and it's for a good reason. They want us to believe that our technology, human technology, is kind of limited, and that we couldn't be making flying saucers and time machines and stuff like that, which we do. We do. We already have these things. The fields that propel these smaller craft are anti-gravity fields, but in the center of time, the passage of time speeds up. So people that use these craft frequently will have gray hair a lot quicker, like Obama did. And, you know, it's, yeah, you spend time there, you age quicker. So many things I don't know where to go. There's so many rabbit holes.
I mean, there's 1,000 rabbit holes. And actually, there's another one that I have to ask you about. You mentioned one of the things that would be done is they would say, hey, we can show you a video of Jesus's crucifixion. I think you mentioned something about that earlier.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Allegedly, like, there's a story of, it's like some guy claimed he invented a time machine, and he claimed that he had footage of the crucifixion, and it was out there. And then, do you know what I'm talking about? I'm trying to find it online as I talk about it. It was like some invention, the something scope. Oh, man, this is going to drive me nuts.
Keep looking for it. Let me just say this. As a physicist, I'm sure that we can go forward in time a long way, but we can't go back in time. These things are set. I don't think that anybody actually goes back in time and views it. I think the aliens, the fallen ones, whatever you want to call them, they were there at the time of the crucifixion because Satan tempted Jesus. And that technology was there. They could have recorded things to later use to deceive people into following Satan under a different name, obviously.
The Chronovisor.
Chronovisor. Yeah, all right, I'm looking that up while you're talking. What's the deal?
It says in 1972, an Italian newspaper published a photo, it said, was the face of Christ as shown by a machine that could view any point in history. And it was called the Chronovisor, an alleged Vatican time travel device.
Hmm.
So you can...
Yeah, I see the pictures of it.
Yeah, so you
I
can...
I don't know.
Yeah, but what you're saying basically is unlikely because you can't go back in time.
You can't go back, but can you view back in time? Possibly. Because the light waves go out from our planet, out into infinity out there. If you have a way to go out, 20,000 light years or 10,000 light years even, and look back at the Earth with a powerful magnifying telescope or something, you could possibly see events on the surface of the Earth at that time, because the light is out there still traveling. I mean, radio waves from the Nazis, opening up the world games, for Hitler. That's out there in space somewhere. It's, so you can view it. And so this viewing.
Sure. So like when we look out at the sun, we're looking at the sun 8 minutes ago. We're not looking at the sun as it is now.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yes. Okay. Interesting. Well, yeah, look up Chronovisor and see what you think of that. But it reminded me of that when you said that was something they would say, like, we can show you the crucifixion or whatever.
All these things to kind of prove that they are the real deal, and Jesus is one of their guys, and, we're here to help you. This is going to happen soon, I think, but before the next few years, next 3 or 4 years, I think we're going to see this open reveal of the technology and these extraterrestrials, and finally disclosure will be made official.
Now, one last thing before we go to the break here, you talked about the end times, and obviously a week ago, I think it was last Wednesday, actually, was supposed to be September 23rd was supposed to be the end of the world, according to this South African pastor. I think he said he was 999% sure or something. And, some people sold their cars, quit their jobs, expecting the rapture, and it never happened. These stories seem to happen like every 4 or 5 years, the rapture is allegedly coming.
Yeah, and the Bible says that even Jesus himself doesn't know the date and time of the rapture until his Heavenly Father tells him. And you can know the season of when this might happen. And I think that pastor and others who have predicted the rapture will occur on this date this year, whatever, that they have forgotten this, that even Jesus doesn't know until just before the moment to go collect his bride, the church. And in this case, that pastor was looking at Rosh Hashanah, the Jewish New Year, and the cycle of 770s and 77s. And he put it all together and say it's going to happen on the Feast of Trumpets in September the 23rd, 24th. Now, I think we're in the season, and the season could be months or years, but I think under 10 years for sure.
All right, well, hold that thought, under 10 years. Back in a moment, everybody. After Dark Radio, Sports Byline, and Broadcasting Network. All right, back here on the show. We only got a brief moment of time, but I want to give Stan a chance to finish that last thought, and then we'll get some plugs in. Go ahead, Stan.
Okay, last thought on this. The possibility of a rapture occurring. There are several Jewish holidays during the year, festive days, where it could possibly be in the spring and the first fruit harvest, that kind of stuff. The New Year, which we just passed. And there's another one that people don't mention often, and that's happening today and tomorrow. And it's called the Nila celebration. And that's the closing of the gates of heaven. And the Judaism celebrates this as a solemn holy day when you confess your sins, and the gates to heaven are then closed. And it was interesting, if we have a rapture, then the gates of heaven are closed to direct, rapture to the people who are left on the earth. They should have been believing before that time. So if people are hearing this after tomorrow, then, okay, I'll probably still be here and selling books on my site, standale.com. But if not, then you'll understand why some disappeared and some stayed. The gates to heaven are closed at the end of the Yom Kippur celebration.
October 2nd. There. Well, Stan, I want to thank you so much for doing the show. StanDeo.com is the website, and everything you want to know about Stan is up there, as well as his YouTube page, which you can check out, and he's got shows up there. There's the show images we were talking about. There's articles on everything. StanDeo.com. And anything else you'd like to get out very quickly?
Well, I have some videos that are on the Truth Be Told SY, the Truth Be Told Network, which is a Christian network run by Kevin Gallagher. And I do put them on Rumble as well. And for the last 2 weeks, I haven't felt well, so I haven't done the shows. But I'm trying to get back on the schedule here next week. So, yeah.
Well, all the best to you. I hope you're feeling better soon. I hope we can get you back on here again soon so we can do another 70 topics in 45 minutes. My absolute favorite. TruthBeToldNetwork.org, as well as StanDeo.com. And Stan, thanks so much for everything. And of course, thank you everybody for listening. We'll talk to you next time, After Dark Radio on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network.